This is Indie Major, a show devoted to the wide-ranging stories and visions of individualized majors at the University of Connecticut. I'm your host, Ken Cormier. I'm here in the studio with Rachel Levy. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So you are an individualized major here at UConn. Why don't you tell us the name of your major and what it entails?
So my major's name, it's Fashion Engineering and Durability. And usually when I explain that to people, I usually just kind of sum it up as like fashion business, because what it really is like it's business, but it's also art. And it is a little bit of science. I was in the trades before coming to UConn, and pants sucked, all of them, and also like material sucked, and that is part of what my major is, like finding a durable fabric that can be used for all body types.
So fashion engineering and durability?
Yes.
Yeah, that is a very interesting one. So we do have, so the individualized major program has several students who want to major in some area of fashion.
Yes.
And but this is your specific vision for like how you want to talk about and study fashion. So you said that you thought that some materials that are used for clothing are just bad, they don't last, and this is one of your interests in making that better?
Well, actually, all clothing is been since like I think 1990, since the mass production of plastic particularly, they're not made well. And if you go to like Forever 21 or to Shein or any of these other like fast fashion brands, there are even men's brands that exist like that where it's just fast fashion and the clothes don't last as long. That is a symptom of the problem of what something I want to create, which is a sustainable, long-lasting pair of clothing. Because if you probably yourself can have like, you probably have clothing, even not so much now, but maybe you have clothes that are from the 90s and 80s. Like, I don't know how old you were, but,
right, yeah.
But you probably have clothes that were from the 90s and 80s.
I do still have some stuff.
Yeah.
From thrift shops.
Yeah, but they still work and they right. still fit. Like my jacket, I brought it in. That actually was from my dad when he was 14 years old in the 80s. And it's a Levi's real denim jacket and it's still kicking. It's still really, really good. I have pairs of my mom's like Lee's jeans from the 90s. And they're so worked in and they're still lasting. They haven't been like, you know, destroyed in any way or distressed. Clothing today does not last more than about, I'd say, if you're being gentle with it, like give or take maybe 3 years. The point being, fashion today versus like what you grew up with or my parents grew up with, and even like what millennials grew up with, like, you know, when they were in college, like, you know, in the early 2000s, it's not the same. It's really become consumption of overproduce clothing, we overproduce bad quality clothing, and we just kind of throw it in the trash, or it doesn't last, or ends up in a landfill.
Now, I want to back up for a second, because your major has all different courses in all different areas, and it sounds like history of fashion. Is there anything, is there history that you study in your major at all?
So I'm currently in actually a class for a history of capitalism, which does relate to my major. However, the actual fashion history part, I have a lot of fashion history just on my own time because it's so interesting and like really cool. Like there's this TikTok like page that I see, and it's in New Canaan, like Connecticut, and it's of historical fashions dating from 1790, I think it's the oldest dress, to like as late as like 1930s. And they have dresses that have been donated, and they like do historical data on them, and they just showcase. It's just like the historical society. And I love that stuff. I love how clothing became something that was really, really pricey to get and really hard to get, and then became more and more and more easy and accessible and eventually produced like every day. Like as we are speaking, I think there's like something like a million pieces of clothing produced a day.
Wow.
More than that, my numbers are not my area. I'm going to put that out right now. But the point being, it's so overproduced, and that's fine to a degree.
Now, also earlier, you mentioned that business was a part of this. So are you going to be taking business courses as part of this major as well?
Yes. So I'm currently in two business courses. One is personal brand management, and the other is the entrepreneurship journey. And my end goal with this degree is actually to, you know, come out with a business plan and launch a business. And again, to talk about my background, like initially when I came to UConn, I was not going to study fashion, even though I really wanted to. But it was more of like on the back burner. My dad wanted me to go to college to get a degree for business. And I was going to be poised to take over his business, which is completely different.
What's his business?
His business is, at the time, was apartment renting. So he was a landlord in Bridgeport, and he owned a bunch of buildings. Wow. And he, like last year before I decided to do this major, he said to me, I'm selling everything. And I'm like, what do you mean you're selling everything? He's like, I'm selling everything. You can study what you want. And I'm like, well, shoot, I don't know what I want. And my mom's like, well, you love fashion. You always have. Go for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, fashion majors in the individualized major program here at UConn are also very specific in the sense that UConn itself does not offer fashion courses. And so, as part of your major, it's incumbent upon you to find an experiential global learning program, which is study abroad, where you can study fashion specifically, right? For like maybe three or four classes. So one of the programs that we work with is this study abroad in Florence.
Yes.
And so you're going to be taking courses that are what? That look like what?
Well, I'm going to be studying garment construction, fabric and textiles, how to draw people in clothing, because I actually don't have a very strong drawing background, surprisingly enough. And a fashion history, like for Italy, because like that was a huge part of it, like from the Renaissance, like they basically depicted a lot of like what, like a lot of clothing that we have, like styles and just like stuff that we still kind of use today, even now, and things that come back in fashion. But pretty much everything that has to do with garment construction, textiles, sewing, and like overall drawing of like people and clothing.
Wow. So now this will feed right back into what we were talking about at first, right? Which is how these materials work, how they work best, mm-hmm. how they can be durable, which I think is an interest in this business. So let's talk about this business that you envision starting. Is this business going to be built around the concept of making more durable clothes again? Is that one of the ideas that you're going for?
So I mentioned I was in the trades, what those trades were. I did an internship in HVAC at Galt in Fairfield County. And then I also did manufacturing. I have a manufacturing degree from Housatonic Community College. And the durability part was really important because when I was in those trades, and there were other women with me, I just want to mention that. But we all felt that we couldn't, like, you know, wear pants that actually were protective. Like, I was wearing my mom's jeans, like the ones I mentioned from the 90s, like almost every day. And another one was that I didn't feel very pretty. I mean, granted, I'm not supposed to feel pretty in like a, you know, shop situ like okay, area.
Right.
But if you're dressing like that every day for a year, like I did that program for like a year and I was getting up at 5 a.m. every day. It's grueling, but it was really, like, it made me sad to think that, you know, I don't feel pretty. I feel comfy, but I don't feel pretty. And I also don't feel comfortable getting my jeans dirty. Like, I barely feel comfortable doing that. Like, I want these specifically, like, I want pants and maybe shirts, but pants that, like, women and men eventually. Like, I know I'm focusing more on the women, but women that can just get dirty and they have deep pockets and they're useful and they actually fit you correctly and they aren't gonna like fall down, but they can also, like, you know, maybe you could put a tool in there or maybe you can hook like your tool belt on there. Like, that was really important. Like, I was in manufacturing, which I don't really need to have my tools hoisted to me, but when I was in HVAC, I did. I was the smallest person there. I was surrounded by big burly guys. Like, I had to come up with ways of how to, you know, carry tools around. I had to come up with ways of, like, how to get my stuff around. Like, literally, just the overall practicalness and durableness of clothing would be so helpful. Because I will be honest, pretty much every time I stepped into the shop, I did not feel comfortable with getting oil on my pants, getting coolant on my pants, getting dye on my pants, which would not come out, by the way. So, like, It comes back to, like, it wasn't durable. And some of, like, spandex is great, but there was too much spandex. So mm-hmm. it's just like, if I get close to a machine that has like sharp like tools, like example, like with cutters or with lathes, like pretty much I risked like ripping my pants. Like these pants should be able to take a beating.
Right. And so these things you're identifying, it's so interesting because they're all informed by cultural and historical precedents that have, you know, for generations before you were born, right? That
right.
the reason why some of these pieces of clothing that you're envisioning don't exist is because of all these cultural pressures and different things that have informed this stuff. So are you able to study within your major issues like societal or cultural issues as well?
So so this is where my capitalism class comes in. Like the whole societal pressures of what is to be expected of women and versus men, it's really fascinating to think about, especially because like women were working like hard labor way before, like, you know, the World War II example, right. like Rosie the Riveter,
right.
you know, women in the factories. Women were doing hard labor, like hard labor, way before that, when, you know, in the time, like Renaissance period, even like, you know, the 1700s. We may not think that because we think when, you know, you probably think of like, you know, 1700s, you're thinking of the forefathers and their wives that went and sat on the porch and knitted and, you know, made bread.
Right.
Not all women were fortunate enough to do that. That's that, like, you got to think about the women who are picking cotton in the fields, like who were slaves. They did not have the fortune to do that. There were also other women in other places, like, you know, on the prairie when they were settling the West. You honestly think that all those women were not running outside, probably with a gun in hand, to go shoot a wolf that was attacking their livestock while their husband was away? You don't think that they were doing that? So the societal pressures that have started to come up now are like really after, I think, the 1910s and the 40s. And like why there's so much precedent on like why these clothes don't exist does not make a lot of sense to me.
So it's interesting because we often, you know, I think humans default to looking back at history and saying, oh, well, things used to be this way or they
right.
used to be that way. But really what you're talking about is it's just it continues to be an issue. It's a contemporary issue,
mm-hmm.
right? And the fact is that these situations where all sorts of people doing all sorts of labor have always been in play. And so, you know, what is it about the industries that we have in place now that aren't either recognizing that or aren't deciding that that's a place that where they can make a profit? I'm not exactly sure, but so these are very, very contemporary and kind of radical issues. I find it really, it's just a really interesting approach to the idea of fashion in this major.
It's an unusual approach.
Yeah, right.
That I think is the best way to describe it. I have been told it's a very unusual approach because you mentioned why has this not been, you know, looked upon or capitalized on, the reason has not been capitalized on or just looked at is because people in general feel that, oh, if it doesn't last a long time, then people are going to buy more of it.
Right.
Consumption, consumption, consumption. And that's where, like, you know, the idea that something that lasts is not profitable comes from. So I'm aware of that. My business may not be profitable in the sense of I'm not going to be, you know, maybe making like a million pieces of clothing a day. But there's a lot of women out there who would rather have something that lasts like a really long time and also can fit their body type. And, you know, maybe if they need to buy another pair, they will. I would much rather that instead of this constant consumption.
So what you're talking about is sustainability in some mm-hmm. sense, right? Versus planned obsolescence, right? Where things just, you buy it, it breaks, you buy yeah, another one.
Exactly.
Let me just step back here.
Mm-hmm.
So you put all these ideas together to create your own major. So how did you find out about the program?
My mom did. My mom did so much research for me because I wasn't sure where the hell I wanted to go at when my dad told me that I could study whatever I want. My mom said to me, well, here are your options. Go to FIT in New York City. You can transfer it to an entirely new school. You can do all this stuff. Oh, and there's also this thing at UConn that allows you to make your own major. So, like, you can do that too. And I was like, oh, wait, that's already here.
Yeah.
Let's just look into that first. So
that's great. Yeah, so she found us.
My mom is the reason I was able to really get into the individualized majors, because she's just so good at research.
Wow. Awesome. Well, thanks to your mom. That's awesome.
Thank you, Mom. Excellent. I will tell her to listen to this episode. Be like.
Excellent. All right. Well, this has been great. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Indie Major. If you'd like more information about individualized and interdisciplinary studies at the University of Connecticut, please visit our website at iisp.ucon.edu. That's iisp.ucon.edu. We'd also like to thank UConn Enrichment Programs and WHUS UConn Radio for their support of this show.